Would you want God to treat you the way you treat others? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Have you ever thought that this is a dangerous prayer? It is. What you have said is, God, treat me like I treat other people. Forgive me as I forgive others. Do you forgive others? If you don't, you've asked God to deal with you the same way. You're saying to God, God, I want you to deal with me the way I deal with other people.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, where we share real truth that never changes, presented by acclaimed pastor, Bible teacher, and author, Adrian Rogers. The two great enemies against the human soul are guilt and bitterness, and the freedom of forgiveness is the only thing that can combat them. We are freed from guilt when we're forgiven by God, and we are freed from bitterness when we forgive others. What are the four compelling reasons to forgive? The cost, the results? If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 9, as Adrian Rogers reveals the freedom of forgiveness.
We've been in that passage of Scripture that we call the Lord's Prayer, and in a moment we're going to read, beginning in verse 9. But before we do, there was an evangelist of yesteryear who was the counterpart of Billy Graham today, a greatly used and anointed man of God, and this is what he said. He said, there's one sin that Christians have more difficulty with than any other, and there's one sin that is holding back the power of God more than any other sin in the life of Christians. Now, he was a wise and an intelligent man and a man gifted of God. Would you like to know what that sin is? He said, it is the sin of an unforgiving spirit. We're talking today on this subject, the freedom of forgiveness. Verse 9, and after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And now we come to our text, look at it. And forgive us our debts, as in the same manner, like we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And now notice verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. When you forgive, you set a prisoner free, and then you discover that prisoner is you. The freedom of forgiveness. There are two great enemies that come against the human soul, the human spirit, our psyche. One enemy is guilt, and the other is bitterness. Do you have it? Guilt and bitterness. So many people in this world are absolutely driven into the ground spiritually, psychologically, and physically by guilt and bitterness. They're kept in a prison called guilt and a prison called bitterness. Now, the verse of Scripture that we're dealing with today deals with those two things. It deals with guilt and forgive us our debts. And it deals with bitterness, as we forgive our debtors. Both of those problems are dealt with right here. When we're forgiven, we are set free from the prison of guilt. He breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. And when we forgive others, then we're freed from the prison of bitterness. One of God's greatest gifts to you and to me is forgiveness. Because you see, the Bible calls our sins a debt, a debt. Look at the verse of Scripture and see how it delineates our sins. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts Our sins have put us in debt to God, our Creator. We've been created to serve Him, to love Him, and we've not done it. We've been brought into heaven's court, and we have been sued for damages, and we cannot pay, and we're cast into a debtor's prison. The only way we'll be set free is to be forgiven. And then, not only that, but friend, we must also then forgive. Now, when you forgive anybody, you cancel the debt. That's what forgiveness is. Sin is a debt. Forgiveness is the canceling of the debt. Actually, the word forgive here means to bear the burden. Now, if you owed me $1,000 and you had nothing to pay and could not pay, and I said, very well, then I forgive the debt, that cost me $1,000. It cost to forgive. Sin is a debt. When the debt is forgiven, the forgiver pays. Now, salvation may be free to you, but it cost the Lord Jesus. Just jot in your margin, for example, this text, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible speaks of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. Our Lord paid through grace out of His riches for my forgiveness. That's the reason we say grace is what? God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. That's how I'm forgiven. God doesn't overlook my sin. God Himself pays the debt of my sin. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus, with His blood, paid the debt of my sin. God never overlooks it. Somebody must pay. Forgiveness is the paying of the debt that another cannot pay. Forgive us our debts. Now, when God forgives me, then God says, I must forgive others as I have been forgiven. And according to this verse, if I withhold forgiveness to someone else after having been forgiven, then I dam up the stream of God's forgiveness, and that stream stops until I am willing to forgive those who have sinned against me. Now, with all of that as an introduction, let me talk to you, first of all, about the compelling reasons for forgiving. The compelling reasons for forgiving. I'm not talking about being forgiven now. But if you have been forgiven, look again at our verse of Scripture. The Bible says this, after this manner, we're to pray. Verse 9, he says that. And then verse 12, forgive us our debts as in the same manner as we forgive other people. May I give you four reasons why you ought to forgive? Now, if there's somebody who's done you wrong, perhaps it's your parents, perhaps your husband, perhaps your wife, perhaps your employer, perhaps some employee, perhaps a brother, a sister, perhaps a neighbor, somebody who's done you wrong, and our Lord has taught you to pray, God, forgive me as I forgive them. You ask yourself this question, why should I forgive? Four reasons. Here they are. The first is what I want to call the grace factor. The grace factor. You should forgive because you have been forgiven. You should forgive because God has so willingly forgiven you. Here's our verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God has forgiven you. God has shown grace to you, and therefore you must show grace to one another. Sam Jones, another evangelist of yesteryear, said, and I quote, I had a hard time forgiving people until I made up my mind I wasn't going to fall out with anyone until He treated me worse than I treated Jesus. We crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And so reason number one that we need to be forgiving is that we have been forgiven. We have experienced the grace of God, and we're to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Reason number two, not only the grace factor, but the guilt factor. And the guilt factor means this, that if we do not forgive, then no longer can we be forgiven. We should be forgiving because unforgiveness shuts out the forgiveness of God. Verse 12 teaches us that an unforgiving spirit is unforgivable. And the person who will not forgive destroys the bridge over which he himself must travel. Have you ever thought of this prayer, how dangerous it is? Have you ever thought that this is a dangerous prayer? It is. What you have said is, God, treat me like I treat other people. Forgive me as I forgive others. Do you forgive others? If you don't, you've asked God to deal with you the same way. Forgive me the way I forgive others. Well, you say, well, I'll forgive her, but I'll never have any more to do with her. God says, all right, I'll forgive you and never have any more to do with you. You say, well, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. God says, all right, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. You see what you're praying? You're saying to God, God, I want you to deal with me the way I deal with other people. Why should you forgive the grace factor? You've received grace. Why should you forgive the guilt factor? If you don't, your guilt will remain. And then there's a third reason that you ought to forgive, friend, and that's the grief factor. The grief factor. You see, you should forgive others because if you do not, you will have personal harm and grief that will come to you. An unforgiving spirit keeps you in prison. You say, well, I'm not going to let them off the hook. Our sense of justice cries out and says, we dare not forgive. I will not let them get by with this. I'll keep them on the hook. They're not the only one kept on the hook. You yourself, by an unforgiving spirit, are hooked with them. Why should you forgive them? Well, number one, for Jesus' sake. God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Can you not, for Christ's sake, forgive them? God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Can you not, for Christ's sake, forgive them? But not only for Christ's sake, but for their sake. You see, forgiveness is not giving to a person what they deserve. Forgiveness is giving to a person what they need. But not only to do it, listen, for Christ's sake and for their sake, do it for your sake. Did you hear that? For your sake, an unforgiving spirit, bitterness will keep you in a prison of your own making. And when you refuse to let them off the hook, I remind you that you stay on the hook with them. You say, well, I'll just get even. Will you get even? Here you are up here. Here's somebody wicked down here, and they have done you wrong. You're going to get even, are you? Do you see where you are? When you get even, you come down to where they are. When you forgive, you bring them to where you are. Where you say, well, then I'll not just get even. I'll continue to hate. I won't take revenge. I'll just continue to hate. Do you know what you do? You take an acid into your system when you continue to hate. And bitterness is an acid that destroys its container. Again, there are few forms of dissipation that will do more to you than resentment and bitterness. Resentment is slow suicide. Why should you forgive? The grace factor, you've been forgiven. Why should you forgive? The guilt factor. If you don't forgive, you dam up the stream of continuing forgiveness. And if you don't forgive the grief factor, you will continue to have grief, and the hurt that hurts you will continue to hurt you until you release it and let it go. The fourth reason you ought to forgive, the gain factor. Not only do you lose those things that have wounded you, you let them go, you release them, but you gain your brother. The person who has wounded you is either a brother or a potential brother, a sister or a potential sister, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he will hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. A brother is a precious thing. You're in Matthew chapter 5, look in verse 24. Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother. Matthew 5, 24. Be reconciled to thy brother. When you forgive another, then you gain a brother. How sad it is when brothers, sisters fail to forgive. Do you know what that does? It disgraces the father. When my children do not love one another, it is a disgrace to me. Not only does it disgrace the father, it discourages the saints. The few things that hurt a church worse than an unforgiving spirit. It also disgusts the lost. Unsaved people are quick to see when there is a rift in a family, when there's a rift in a church, when there is a tear in the fellowship. They're quick to point it out. And many of them are not saved because of the sin in our hearts and in our lives, and that sin is so often the sin of an unforgiving spirit. What does it do? It disgraces the Father. It discourages the saints. It disgusts the lost. It delights the devil. The devil, more than anybody else, loves to see brethren with an unforgiving spirit. The Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The Bible says that God hates that one that sows discord among brethren. You say, well, Pastor, he's not a brother. The person who has sinned against me is an unbeliever. Well, then he's all the more the object of your pity. Because if he's an unbeliever, not only has he done wrong, but he's blind. And he does not have the grace and the power that you have. If he is a brother, you're in the same body. And when you harm him, you harm you. And he's to be the object of your love. If he's not a brother, he's lost and on his way to hell. And you don't need to drive him further that way. He needs more of your love. What I'm saying is there's the gain factor. We have everything to gain, nothing to lose by forgiving someone else. And I have given you four reasons why you ought to forgive. You see, the person that you forgive is more than a person who has hurt you. He is a person who needs you. And grace is not giving to people what they deserve. It is giving to people what they need. Those are the compelling reasons. Secondly, I want to talk to you not only about the compelling reasons, but I want to talk to you about the costly requirements for forgiving. When I talk to you about forgiving someone else, I'm talking to you about something that is extremely costly. Remember what we said? Somebody pays. Somebody pays. Forgiveness is the canceling of a debt. And when you forgive your debtor, then you pay up. What are the costly requirements for forgiving? Well, the model for forgiving is Jesus. Remember again Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the model. Now take that as a model, how you got forgiven. And that's the way that you are to forgive. The kind of price that heaven paid is the kind of price that you're to pay. Therefore, number one, as we talk about the costly requirement, you are to forgive freely. Freely. The Bible says, freely ye have received, freely give. Now, some people forgive after they've collected their revenge. They're wronged. They want the individual to know that they've been wronged. They want the individual to know how badly he has hurt them. Therefore, they criticize, they castigate, they scold, they freeze out, They do everything that they can do to cause that individual to squirm like a worm in hot ashes. They roast them. They pummel them. They excoriate them. They do all they can do. And then finally, after they've had their pound of flesh, they say, well, I forgive. I forgive. And the forgivee feels like saying, never mind, I've already paid. You are to forgive freely, not after you extract your pound of flesh. And because you forgive freely, you're to be quick to do it. The Bible says, let all bitterness be put away from you. Be in a hurry to forgive. If you're not in a hurry to forgive, that bitterness will become an infection and will become much more difficult to heal. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, while they were crucifying Him, He was praying, Father, forgive them. While they were nailing Him to the cross. The Bible teaches that we're to be so anxious to forgive a brother, a sister, that we are to seek them out to forgive them. We're to run them down to forgive them. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. You say, he's the one who did wrong. Let him come to me. If he wants forgiveness, let him come and ask for it. But Jesus said, no, you go to him. Again, he said the same thing when you bring your gift to the altar. Remember there that a brother hath aught against thee. You go to him. Whether you're in the right or whether you're in the wrong, whether you have aught against your brother or whether you know that your brother has aught against you, you are to take the offensive. You are to go to that individual. Isn't that what God did in the very Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve sinned against God, and the Bible says that God came in the midst of the garden, and God cried out, Adam, where art thou? And that was not the voice of a detective. That was the voice of a broken-hearted God.
And we'll continue with the conclusion of this convicting message tomorrow here on Love Worth Finding. But maybe you have questions about who Jesus is, about what He means to you, how to fully surrender your life to Him. Go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources and materials there that can answer questions you might have about your faith in Christ. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message on a single CD, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title, The Freedom of Forgiveness. You'll receive the entire lesson on your single CD. This message is also part of the powerful series, The School of Prayer. If you'd like the complete collection, all five insightful messages, call that number, 1-877-LOVE-GOD, or go online to lwf.org/radio. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Thanks for studying in God's Word with us today. As you go about your day, maybe ask yourself this question. Do I have guilt and bitterness in my life? Have I repented and accepted the forgiveness of God? Have I forgiven others? These are tough questions, but they're necessary if you want the freedom that comes from forgiveness. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more right here on Love Worth Finding. A listener wrote recently and gave us a word of encouragement I want to share with you. He said, I love Love Worth Finding Ministries. Even though Adrian Rogers is gone, his messages from the past are as good for us as they were then. That's so true. And we are honored to present timeless truth that never changes. We're able to do that because God brings along faithful supporters like you. As a listener-supported ministry, we operate on your generosity. And this month, when you give a gift of any amount, we want to send you our Journey of Faith booklet collection. Each journey has a beginning, and once you start, you need to be prepared. Supplement your faith journey with these popular studies from Adrian Rogers, such as Finding God's Peace, Predestined to Hell? Absolutely Not, and The Scarlet Thread of Redemption. Request the bundle when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD.